This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future.
Today we have with us
Grant Smith.
And I'm Stuart Burks. Now, Grant, last week you were talking about your whole career and experiences, and you mentioned you were doing various bits of voluntary work on the way, and you've done a lot more since. So what sort of areas have you volunteered?
It's really interesting because we did a lot of things, my brother and my sisters, when we were very young. We collected for Corso. We picked up bags and old clothes and threw them on the back of trucks from when we were very young.
For Corso?
Yeah, which is like the Red Cross. They collected clothing to send overseas with us. And then during the whole of my career, I was a secretary or a treasurer or a president of church and school committees. I did that in all the places I lived in. And then when I started to play lawn bowls, after 2 or 3 years, I was on the committee. I was the president.
Yeah.
And when I went to Taupo, same thing. When I came to Palmerston North, I was...
Some people just tend to get picked that way.
When I came to Palmerston North after a couple of years, I had a bit of a gap in my life, so I went into Volunteer Central and said, I'm looking to do some volunteering, and they registered me and they said, would you like to do this desk job? And I said, oh, I think I could do that. And they said, we start tomorrow.
Okay. So Volunteer Central.
Yeah, which is coordinates most of the volunteering in Palmerston North.
Okay, so if organisations want, or is it if individuals want volunteers?
Yeah, so it works two ways. Yeah. Individuals can come in and register, and Volunteer Central will try and match them with a role that they've got from one of their registered organisations.
So it has to be with a registered organisation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And I do that 3 mornings a week. I do a 12 hours a week there.
Is that a voluntary job?
Yes, voluntary.
Okay.
Yep.
Yep.
And it's a fabulous experience, and it confirmed to me that what I thought was helping out, what I've been doing all my life, actually I've been volunteering. I'll stand on the street corner for the Heart Foundation or the Salvation Army or anybody else who's going if they need collectors. I work 2 to 3 shifts at the Rugby Museum every month as a host.
You got to know a lot about rugby for that?
You don't need to know a lot about rugby. They said to me at the interview, what do you do? Have you travelled much? And I said, yes. And what do you do? And I said, well, I like going to museums or art galleries. I asked questions. They said, well, that's what people do. You don't tell them, you ask. You answer their questions. But knowing about rugby is helpful. I have a little 1 hour job a week at the public library. I look after their jigsaw collection. I make sure the boxes are nice and tidy and the pieces are all in a plastic bag so they're not falling all over the place. And I thoroughly enjoy that because right next door to me is the preschoolers reading program and sing-along. With all the little preschoolers, it's wonderful listening to the voices and the excitement.
No, it's the nice thing when you're old, you see, it's good to have contact with really young people.
And then I help out at what we call one-off events. Last weekend, I was in the car park for the Premier League hockey down at Manorau Park. I've barbecued for the US Navy when they gave a community feedback day at Pitt Park.
US Navy gave an event at Pitt Park in Palmerston North.
Yeah, they gave what they called a community pit, payback day.
Okay.
So they'd been at Ohakia, in the upgrade of Ohakia.
Okay.
And they decided that they needed to do some public service. So
goodwill stuff. Yeah.
So my manager at Volunteer Central organised us to go to Pitt Park. They did gardening and cleaning up. And
So by working in there, you can get the plum volunteer jobs.
Well, let's say
Now, what's the new word I've heard? Are you voluntold?
I wouldn't go that far. But I do see,
when
they come in, and I help out at Roslyn's Wacky Water Day. They have it in February every year.
A Wacky Water Day.
Yeah, and it's because it's associated with the swimming pool, and they have a water slide, and it's a great free family day.
Yeah.
And so I do a lot of those things. It meets all what I need. Social interaction. And I meet some wonderful people. Absolutely wonderful people. I walk to the office to all those 3, 4, 5 days a week. If I'm working in the city, I walk there every day.
Which
gives me just over an hour's walking every day. So
I keep
up my fitness levels. I'm amazed at how many people are giving so much as volunteers in all the organisations.
How willing
some of them are to do something for you at short notice. And we have a lot of new Zealanders, new migrants, and they come to be volunteers because it helps them integrate and also helps them with their English. And some of those people are so talented, so driven, they want to succeed as New Zealanders.
And
it gives me a nice warm feeling.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I suppose it means that you can feel that there's a much larger community, because often I think individually you just go to work, you go home, and you've got a narrow circle and you think that's it. But there's so much more going on, which you actually see from your job at Volunteer Central.
Yes.
So, do you find it there's a few people who do a lot of the voluntary work, or it's there's lots of people who do little bits here and there? Or?
Right, well, if I can answer that firstly by talking about in sports clubs I've been in.
Yeah.
In sports clubs I've been in, the majority of the work is done by few.
Yeah.
And at the bowling club I played with in Wellington, there were people who said, they never help out or they never do this. But I said, well, they do that a little bit.
Yeah.
Which we don't have to do.
Yeah.
And anybody used to say to me, that wasn't done, or you hadn't done that, I'd say, well, who said it's my job? If you did that regularly,
it wouldn't be that. Yeah.
It wouldn't be there for you to say it hasn't been done. So it was that encouraging stuff. In the volunteer world that I'm in now, there are a lot of people doing little bits, and there are lots of people doing a lot of bits. But it's becoming more casual volunteering, so one-off events.
And is this with younger people and more casual, the board?
Across the board, because medium New Zealand people, if they have to drive to a thing, the cost of petrol and all of that, it all mounts up.
Yeah. I'd heard also the idea that younger people you got organisations like Rotary and Lions and so on that did or do a lot, but they're all ageing, and they say that younger people tend not to join things where you have regular commitments. You're saying that they'll do one-off things more, is that?
Yeah, they'll do an event.
How do you find the people to do events if they're not part of a group that can be?
Well, if we're looking for them at Volunteer Central, they're on our register, and they've indicated they're being events.
Okay, so say people who maybe 50 years ago would have joined JC's Rotary or Lions, instead they'd register with you as a volunteer and get called in for things, like that? Okay.
Yeah. So we have a lot of people who are retired are in our office within a week or so, I've just retired, I don't know what the hell I'm going to do with myself.
All right.
I'd like to register.
Yes.
And we talked to them about what's available.
Yeah.
And then you get people who have been involved all their lives who no longer are in a sports club or... But still want to
looking
give.
For something else, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they are... And I suppose what you'd see then is people getting a lot from volunteering that, you know, if you work, you do it and you get paid, but there's lots of other rewards from volunteering because you're the social... It's just social contact.
And I think the other thing that I really enjoy is I'm going to be 80 next year, and they say you never stop learning. Well, that's absolutely right, because I've learned so much in the last 4 years that I'd...
Yeah. As long as you keep yourself open to it, it's good for you. Yeah.
And
so these people who sort of think, oh, they retire and, oh, it's so dull and boring, there's nothing to do, and they wish they'd kept working, or these people who keep working scared of retirement, what would you say to them?
Well, I have a mate, he's just retired, he's 80.
Yeah.
And his biggest fear about retiring was that he wouldn't know what to do with himself.
Yeah.
But he was very heavily involved in his sports club and did a lot.
Yeah.
And I used to say to him, well, you do a lot here, you know, you can do something else. He said, you know what? He said, I don't want to be the first person down here to have a drink at 4 o'clock when our bar opens. And that was his... And yet he never did that when he, when he was working. He's just, I haven't caught up with him since he's retired.
Yeah.
You know, in a year's time, I could find out just what he is doing. Volunteering is you do what you want, with whom you want, when you want. So
absolutely.
They do expect you to, you know, stay around for a year or two, but
you
can manage that.
And they've got to make it enjoyable rather than think you want that you're doing it for pay.
And the good organisations recognise you, you know, they make sure you've got a cup of tea, coffee when you go in, or they're just little things that make you feel like, oh, well, I am making a worthwhile contribution.
Yeah. Now, also, well, you were talking about the courts before as well, and one thing we haven't said that's very prominent in New Zealand these days is the issue of Maori and non-Maori. Do you find, are they quite separate in there? Well, one in the courts, was that
when I joined public service in 1962, the percentage of Maori in the public service would have been very small.
Yep.
They were mostly in the armed forces or the forestry or those sorts of things.
Yeah.
But over the years, Maori in the, what you'd call the more traditional clerical jobs and vocations, and then the Pacifica people, been a huge explosion of them in the thing. I had a, I enjoyed working with the different ethnicities, and I had a regional manager who was Maori, who I learned so much from. I actually didn't realise I was learning.
Yeah.
Because he just used to take me to Maori things and leave me to my own devices.
Yeah.
And I said to him after a couple of years, I said, I was saying something to him. He said, well, you have been listening, haven't you?
Yeah, you just get familiar with the way things are.
So he said, well, I could have taught you that in 10 minutes. He said, and you would have known about it. But he said, you've seen it. So it's much better for you.
Yes.
In volunteering, we would have more New Zealanders as volunteers than we would have of then Pacific Islanders or Maori, because they tend to
they'd be involved in their own communities and their own organisations,
and doing their own thing. But
so are those groups are sort of quite separate as well, or is there much mixing?
There's the multicultural centre. Is a hub of that, and they have some wonderful things on for all the ethnicities. So that's a there's something bubbling there, and you can get involved with if you want to help out.
Because there's a massive number of organisations, aren't there? So you in your job, you're able to build connections with all of those, or it's just a one off. You
build connections with the person you're dealing with in the organisation. The person who manages their volunteer. But you do get to know others. And
what sort of area? Because you mentioned about the sport. There's migrant groups and so on. There's in the health sector. There's volunteers.
There's roles at the hospital. They have people who are in the emergency department to make sure people are right, getting cups of tea, and they have them behind the scenes in A&E. There's the health shuttle.
Driving people around.
And for older people, there's what is called befriending or visiting, which is visiting an older person who might be living in isolation, who can't get out often. And that could involve, you know, a fortnightly go around and take them a cream bun and have a coffee with them, or even just ringing them on a regular basis.
Okay.
So that's all going
on. Is there much of that?
There's quite a bit of that.
And who tends to be the volunteers that? So is it you try to match up very young people with the older people?
Or those who want to do it.
Whoever,
And we find a lot of migrant younger people are quite happy about doing that sort of work.
Yes, good to practice their English
and from their cultures
the respect to older people.
Before you were talking, you said about older men or older people getting jobs as they get older.
Yes, yeah.
When I came back, I was 60 when I came back from Australia.
Yeah.
And I had no trouble getting a job.
Yeah.
And then I got the next one at 65.
Yes.
So there was no barrier. And then when we got a new manager, and I decided I was going to retire at 70, so she came a year before I was to retire. So the first thing I said to her in the meeting was, I'm going in 12 months' time.
Yeah.
I'm going to retire. But in that time, you better drain the knowledge. And she came from a different background, so said, I can help you with that, and I can help with the younger people in the office, you know.
Yeah, okay.
And then when it came to, you know, about a month before I was to retire, they came and said, oh, no, we'd like you to stay on.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I'm not. I've been around too long.
Yeah. Now, also, something that I've heard is that there's been changes in young people's attitude to work over the past 50, 60 years and so on. Is that something you've noticed?
They have a different outlook on life. And when I was in Oamaru, I had a young man there who was very good hockey player, and he came to me one day and he said, oh, the schools have trouble getting umpires for the hockey during the week. And I said, oh yes. And he said, well, I'd like to be able to do that. And I said, yeah, you can do that, you know, you're doing well here. And then a few weeks later I was talking to him, and he said, I work so I can enjoy myself. He said, older people work because you think you have to. And I said, oh, that's fair enough. But they have a different idea. I think after the war, when I went in the generation I was brought up with, our parents had been through a depression and a war.
That's right.
So security was very, very important to them.
And the idea that the man's the breadwinner for the family.
You
didn't have that.
Well, you saw that because very few women worked.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So there's the expectation you should be supporting the family.
You know, that was what society was about.
Yeah.
But I had never had any trouble with the explosion of the woman in the workforce, or married woman. My wife was... fortunate she didn't have to until our kids were a lot older, which was great for bringing up a family.
Yeah.
But I've never had any problem with that, and I've had several excellent women managers.
Yeah.
My only advice I ever gave them was, don't start to act like a man.
Yeah. No, I think there was some people might might have objected to women in the workforce, but my general feeling was, yeah, if they can do the job and they want to, that's fine. But there was still an expectation that the man should be supporting the family. I think that's the sense I got.
And there were women who'd say to me, who were married and who were doing they were really rocks in the organisation.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to go any further. I don't want that responsibility.
Yeah.
So they were making a conscious choice.
Yes, yeah.
And I used to say, well, you would leave a real big hole, so you would look after them.
We sort of found in a way that the reverse in schools, in the, you know, men, we got a smaller and smaller proportion of male teachers in schools, but they, while some might have gone into teaching because they enjoyed teaching, they felt they had to move on to become a school principal or whatever for the higher pay, for the, you know, the career progression that was expected of them. Whereas, as you say, you know, women, and it's something that's been observed, when they say, how come there aren't lots of women partners in law firms? They might be very ambitious to start with. They get to that stage and then think, well, is this what I want for the rest of my life? And then turn away from it. Yeah.
Yep.
But because they got a choice, I suppose. But you.
And I've seen, using my own McCargill experience, there was a young clerk, she was... she would have been on the first supervisor.
Yeah, yeah.
She's now running that court.
Yeah.
40 years later.
Yeah.
Who I identified even in those days as very good.
The
and then I got so much enjoyment out of identifying talent, mentoring and developing it.
Yeah.
And then seeing them go off to do something else and succeed, that gave me a lot of satisfaction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's an important aspect of leadership anyway.
Yeah. I always used to say managing processes is very easy. Anybody can do that.
Yeah.
They call it management of people, but it's not. It's called it's leading them. It's leadership, which is the important thing that you've got to have. If you're not a good leader, you won't succeed.
Yeah, you've got problems.
Yeah,
I heard even the same thing in relation to prisons. There was a court psychologist I knew, and I was asking him about issues of discipline in prisons, and he said it's very much according to who's in charge of the wing, and that something about the personality. With the right personality, things all just go very smoothly, and with if they don't have a natural authority or something, I don't know, then it causes problems. But the way to interact with people, which isn't necessarily something that can be taught, I suppose, or you build it from experience rather than
I think it does come from experience.
Yeah.
And I remember dealing with gang leaders,
motorbike
gang leaders in a standoff, and my 2IC in Wellington and I negotiating an agreement about how many of their club or gangs, whatever, could come into the courtroom.
And all
the time the police were saying trespass and trespass them.
And
I said, if we start to do that, we're going to have a bloody brawl.
At any rate,
we negotiated it.
And then
one of those gang leaders became a very good friend of mine.
Which helps, yes.
And he would just walk past my reception staff and they'd say, where are you going? He said, oh, I'm going to see the boss, he said.
Yeah.
And he'd go, I could hear him coming, and I'd and he'd tell me what you know. And sometimes he's pretty angry, but we always got a resolution.
We
had a trust.
That's good.
And the other great thing, and I think this is something that everybody, no matter in your work and everything, have fun. Don't get so serious if you get about having fun.
Because
I found that quite a few tight situations and meetings was blown right open by a joke or something, and it turned the meeting around and it turned the work life around. I always enjoyed having fun. Even at my expense.
I think that's important, and in fact, even for volunteering, it's more important because they're only doing it because they want to be there. But in the work environment, you'll sometimes have people who are, say, very ambitious and so on, or whatever, or very stubborn and awkward. You've got to work with the people that you have there, which also makes it can be a problem, can't it?
Yeah, well, there used to be the old public service adage, a lot of people, because it was on the basis of first in the door, first taxi off the rank, and they'd been promoted above their level of efficiency. Yeah.
Is this the glide time sort of...
And I had to deal with that a lot, because I was very young at some of the places I was at, and I was dealing with some people who were almost as old as my parents. And just I was just front up with them. So look, I can understand how you're feeling, but that's the past. There's nothing I can do about the past.
Yeah,
I can only do something from today on.
Yeah.
And if you want to get on, this is what I expect to see. And some of them did it, some of them didn't.
Yeah.
So, and then you had to work out how you're going to work.
But you're finding the voluntary side very satisfying now.
I do. I do. I have a structure of my life. I get up in the morning and I do all my volunteering if I can in the morning.
Okay.
I've always been a morning person.
Yeah.
And then I'm lucky enough to come home and there's a meal prepared for me. And the afternoon's mine.
Yeah.
If I want to go and do more volunteering, I can.
Yeah.
But I tend to keep the afternoons to myself, and I keep one day a week I don't do anything on.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.